Second Timothy is the final say. It is the last word. It is how Paul chooses to write his, he knows he's getting ready to die. He knows that the next time he appears before this king that he's going to die. And so he says, hey, Timothy, my boy, my fellow laborer, my one guy that I sent, and I just, man, I want to pour out into you. And there's a few things I want to say. And last week we outlined four things that Paul lays out, letters to a young preacher. They were up there. They're not up there now. If he were writing a book called Letters to a Young Pastor, this would be his four points, all right? And I want to remind you of those things. All through 2 Timothy, he is subtly hinting to Timothy that he guard the truth, all right? He doesn't have to guard his own reputation. He doesn't have to guard his way of thinking. He is called to guard the truth that has been instilled in him. He's called to be strong in the Lord when the waves come, when the storms rage. Be strong not in a pastor, be strong not in Paul, be strong not in anything but the Lord himself. Stand inside the girding of the Lord. Avoid traps and pitfalls. Hey man, this whole ministry experience is a lot easier if you don't go running into things you know are bad for you, okay? If somebody who has gone before you says there is a pothole there, do not drive over that if you know you don't want a flat tire. Now, it might not keep you from all flat tires, but it will keep you from that flat tire, okay? When you know there's something there, don't go there if it's going to be, and preach the word. Don't preach the politics. Don't preach the opinions. Don't preach the latest Facebook meme. Don't preach the latest topic of discussion. Don't just preach 40 days of purpose or truths from the vine or how people can experience God. Preach the word. And this is what I would leave you with. So all that is undergirded in here. We got through most of chapter 1 last week, and we find that Paul kind of hints at his loneliness. You know, Paul has been the guy that is joy from prison, hope from prison. He's got this amazing way. He, you know, sings in prison. It's just insane how good his attitude is. But right before where we're going to start today, he said, you know that everyone in the province has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. He just, the weight of his loneliness has affected his heart, all right? But he follows that up with, but hey, I'm going to pray for Onesiphorus. That guy came to see me and wasn't afraid of prison, wasn't afraid of jail, wasn't afraid of the people around. I'm going to pray for that one. I'm not going to dwell on these. I'm going to pray for that one. And I'm going to pray for his family, and I'm going to pray for his family's family. Because that's the way I want people to see me. All right? And then we get to chapter 2, starting in verse 1. All right, my son. He goes back to the very loving, very embracing. You then, son, in the midst of our trials, be strong in the grace, and we talked about that last week, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Church, coming up in the next 8 to 12 weeks, we're going to do, it's going to come in. We've been talking about a series called True Colors. We've been talking about with all the visitors, with all the new folks, instituting, re-preaching our core values as a church. That is always good to remind us of our vision. But as Stephen and I talked on his back porch recently, we talked about the amazing grace of Jesus and how it is not a well-known occurrence for people just to show grace, that to be the first response. And the reason it isn't our first response is we don't, church, listen, we don't understand the amazingness of grace. We can sing it, we don't get the amazingness of the grace that God has given us. We don't understand the depth of the sacrifice that he gave for us. We don't understand the mercy that he has poured out on us. Because if we did, it would be what overflowed out of us first. So we're going to do a series on God's amazing, powerful, unfathomable, but given grace. That is the grace that he says you must stand strong in. Why? The things that you have heard me say, in the presence of witnesses, entrusted to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach. He reminds him that he has to be strong whether there's anybody there or not. But because the word does not return void, there will be more who hear the word, whose hearts take root of the word. Some seed will land on the concrete. Some seed will land in the thorn. Some seed will land in the not good soil. But some seed will land on good soil, and that will sprout up fruit. And there will be men who eventually have fruit coming from them that will also share the word as well. Endure hardships with us. Okay? He doesn't say, as you go out on this journey, fa la 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 la, blue people in mushroom houses and all sunshine and joy. He doesn't say that. He says, as you go out, endure hardships. He knows it's coming. Join me in suffering, listen, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want you to notice is he calls into a vision of the Navy, a vision of the service corps, okay? Those who fight battle, those who are called to serve our country in battle, all right? He also says no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please the commanding officer. You don't worry about the commands of all the people around you. You worry about the commands of the commander. Then he says, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, and this is gonna hit home here, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. And then he goes, another one for our area. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, and the Lord will give you insight into all this. All right. I want you to look at the four words that are going to come up next, and we're going to walk down through them. All right? When you talk about a soldier, all right, there is a dedication involved. All right? You sign up. You hit boot camp. You are not in control anymore. Uncle Sam owns you. You go where he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for what he wants to give you, all right? You have chosen to live your life in service to another. Your choices are no longer your own. There is a dedication involved in staying the course and serving those. For what end? So that you and I don't have to. You are setting up your own personal sacrifice for the good of others. Being called into the family of God requires the same dedication. Jesus doesn't say that it does not. He actually says that it does. Leave your mother, leave your father, leave your brothers, your sons. Leave them. Count the cost if you're going to follow me. Count the cost. There is a cost in following Jesus Christ. And Paul is using a visual reference, and we're going to find out later what he tells him to do, that says, hey man, once you enlist in the army of God, you have one commanding officer. And that commanding officer is the King himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's saying the race that you're running, Timothy, is a race that requires the dedication and the sacrifice of a soldier. It also requires discipline. Now, I'm not going on a rant here. I'm not laying out my opinions here. I simply want you to hear what I'm saying. One of the things that we have done that a lot of people argue, fuss, and fight about, and you all may argue, fuss, and fight with me about it. That's okay. Right now, I've got the microphone and you don't. So listen up, because I'm going to talk to you about Scripture. I want you to hear me. You do not get the trophy if you do not do the work. Let me say it again. You do not get the trophy if you do not do the work. A culture of show up and get what everybody else gets is sinful. And it creates a culture of show up and you have to pay me whether I do the work or not. Well, Craig, that's not what it means. That's exactly what it means. There is a first place and a last place. There is a winner and a loser. There is life and there is death. It has always been that way and it always will be that way. The other criminal on the cross is in hell. Period. Because of his choices. One got in, one did not. Do not teach your children otherwise. They do not get to do the same thing as everybody else and not receive the same wage. But they do not get to show up and not work as hard and expect that their plants are going to grow too. And that's where we're going next. You don't get the prize unless you put in the work. You don't want a gold medal unless you want Michael Phelps' training regimen. Do you hear me? You don't just one day wake up and decide you want it and think that you are God's gift to athleticism and think that your body was made for this and never train and never push and never try and never go and never work for it and think that at the end you're going to get what Michael got. You can't do. But we're teaching our kids that they can. We're teaching our kids that they can. And let me say something else. In this life, whether you're doing sports, whether you're doing arts, whether you're doing communications, whether you're doing theater, you don't do it without a coach. And there are sports coach, and there are arts coach, and there are work coaches, and there are academic coaches, and there is a life coach. And trust in this, he always comes first. You don't get to seek ye first the kingdom of football, and all these things will be added to you. You don't get to seek ye first the kingdom of volleyball and have all these things added to you. But you can seek ye first the kingdom of God and get volleyball and dance and basketball and sermons and money and power and friends. You can do that. Well, wait, Craig, I know people who are famous. Yes, you do. And famous people are taking their own lives every day. Because they don't have a life. They have things. They don't have a life. They have success. They don't have a life. They have money. They don't have a life. So they don't understand what they're taking. Because we have sought first handbags. We have sought first culinary skills. Am I hitting home here? We have sought first trophies. Instead of seeking first the kingdom of God. Listen again. You do not receive the crown unless you compete by the rules. You are all in according to the rules or you are not. This life in Christ requires dedication. This life in Christ requires discipline. And coming from a tobacco town and a guy who, look, my wife understands, she told me the other day, I got soft feet. I got soft feet. I got soft hands. I have soft skin, all right? Can I get out and do a laborer's work? I can. Can I get out and run with the guys? I can't. Not for long, but I can, all right? Can I get in the gym and throw the weights up? Not much, but I can, all right? But I don't get. I'm not built for that 7 a.m. out in the field, throwing the hay bales, shoveling the manure, training the horses, slopping the pigs, that farm day that these men work day and night so that when I walk through Kroger to do what I love, that produce section is full. That doesn't happen because somebody shows up. That farmer can't wake up and go, the rooster crowed, I'm out of bed, farm, grow thyself. It doesn't happen that way. It takes the diligence and the determination of planting the seed and watering the seed and of culminating the seed and of weeding around the seeds and of getting rid of the things that will harm you and of enhancing the things that will help you. And then guess what? It takes a faith in the one who actually grows the crop in order for the crop to yield, because no farmer's ever grown a tomato. No farmer's ever grown a potato. No farmer's ever grown a tobacco leaf. No farmer's ever grown anything. They've planted, they've watered, they've seeded, they've weeded. My God grows. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added, but they will not be added without dedication, discipline, diligence, and determination. Timothy, I'm not blowing smoke or sunshine up your backside. It is not an easy life. But if you'll work, if you'll run, if you'll practice, if you'll give, if you'll serve, if you'll run the race, not that I have already obtained this, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. What is it? Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descendant of David. This is my gospel. Gospel, literally translated, means good news. I know that I've just had said some heavy things to you, young man, but here's the deal. If you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, well, what does that mean? It means that God himself came and understood what it was like to swing a hammer, understood what it was like to pull in the nets full of fish. His best friends were the up in the AMs, mending their nets, had calloused hands, working the fields. The people that he did life with were the hard, strong-backed people. He lost his best friend. He wept over death. He was greeted by hundreds, maybe even thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people who wanted to touch him, who wanted to take from him, who wanted to heal him. Every time he preached a sermon, there was a group of guys over in the corner muttering, "What does he think he's saying? Who does he think he is? I got a question, Mr. Jesus." And all the time plotting to kill him. This is the way he lived his life daily, forward, teaching, loving, full of grace, but experiencing hurt, pain, hopelessness, neediness, needing time to rest, needing time to pray, withdrawing to the hill, coming back, saving prostitutes, saving tax collectors, loving children, because that's who he was. You have someone who has run the race before you who didn't just win, they won for you. Who didn't just survive, but who lived and died for you. There is no pain that Jesus hasn't been through on this earth for you. So he is not blowing smoke when he says, "I've come that you might have life. I didn't just show up. I lived. I served. I laughed. I cried. I struggled. I was tempted. I met Satan face to face. I had naysayers. But I ran the race with two goals in mind, to beat sin and to beat death. On the cross I did one. At the resurrection I did the other. And now I'm going to get things ready for you. Run the race like I did." Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. The other assurance you have is you're not alone. Your God is not dead. He is alive. "For which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained." God's word is not. Say it, church. God's word is not. No matter if I'm chained, God's word is not chained. No matter if I die, God's word does not die. No matter if I fail, God's word what? Does not fail. Come on. No matter our circumstance, we may be bound, but our God is boundless. We may be hopeless, but our God is hope. We may be full of fear, but our God is fearless. "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may attain salvation." And if I don't keep running, keep walking, keep talking, keep planting, somebody behind me will not hear. And I just can't live with that. Ron Hutchcraft wrote a book called The Battle for a Generation. And he said, everyone, we need to keep our eyes focused on this generation. Maybe you're trying to save three from now, but But you don't understand. If you lose one, you lose them all. So folks, we need to focus on this generation and make sure that our children know and are pointed to Jesus Christ. Listen, not to rules, not to regulations. That will follow. Following Jesus means there are commandments. Following Jesus means there is obedience. Those who love me obey my commands. But here's the deal. If you teach them to fall in love with Jesus, guess what comes with it? Those who love me obey my commands and follow me. We've spent too many years inviting people to an altar. We've spent too many years inviting people to a pool. Don't get me wrong. I am happy every time we get the opportunity to step in that pool. But do you know why we step in that pool? We step in that pool because people fall in love with Jesus. I don't step in that pool so my number's bigger on the yearly report to the local convention. I can't live with that. I can't live with putting 100 on there and knowing one or two really fell in love. Because I'm not called to make converts. I'm called to make disciples. Why do we keep going? Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, comma, with eternal glory. When I get down, when I get alone, when I get fearful, when I get scared, I glory in this, that Christ died so that I don't have to, and Christ lives so that I will too. And this is not my home. This is not my home. These bruises, not forever. This body, thank you, Jesus, not forever. This hair, thank you, Jesus, not forever. All of us can't be Paul Del Rio. A resident Rico Suave. Rich. You! Therefore, I endure everything for you. And not just for you, for your children. And not just for your children, but for your children's children. And guess what? Sometimes we trip over first base. Guess what? Sometimes we get tackled and the air gets knocked out of us. Guess what? Sometimes there's that group of naysayers over in the corner of the room trying to stir up trouble again. Guess what? Sometimes your friends stab you in the back. Not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus knows. And you can look confidently in his eyes when he says, I've been there, and understand that he has. And understand that he ran. And understand that he runs with you. When he calls you, he equips you. When he equips you, he walks with you. The Great Commission says, go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them everything I've commanded you. And what is the promise? And lo, and behold, I am with you. And you've heard me ask it before, but I ask it again today. You want to run the race? You want to be a soldier? You want to be a participant? You want to be the farmer? Here's the question. Is Jesus working with you, running with you, fighting with you, enough for you? The minute that you understand that it is the minute you're ready to run. And the minute churches, lives, families, and cities change. Let's pray. God, let us remember that this race doesn't come, this prize doesn't come, this life doesn't come by merely showing up. The determination, dedication, discipline and diligence are required. That hard times are going to come. But the God of the universe, the love of eternity, the grace unfathomable, the joy indescribable are available to us as we run. So let us revel in the orders of our commanding officer, knowing that we have already claimed victory in Jesus, our Savior, forever. All of these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.